This camera?
No.
I just now turned it on.
Okay. I do not want to be part of another blooper reel.
Did you see the blooper reel?
It was me and Charlie.
like a pre-recorded thing you did?
No. Charlotte and I were trying to get her show done, and he sincerely, got me laughing.
Sincerely trying to get the show done. I don't think I started that.
I'm pretty sure you did.
But
and then
anyway.
Charlotte knows how to make me laugh, and so does he, and they're just picking on me. Because I enjoy laughing. Okay, let's make sure. Am I in a good... I feel like I'm...
Yeah, just a touch. Yeah, there you go.
Good right there?
Oh, yeah. That's fantastic.
You feel good about that? Okay.
Wow, that's beautiful. Cash, you sound so great today.
All right. It's the new microphone. Mr. Microphone. You probably don't remember Mr. Microphone. That was from the 70s.
Microphone. Mr. Phone. How's it going?
Okay.
All right. All squared away?
Test 1, 2, 3. Yeah, I feel good. Okay. I'm not too... Hang on. Now my ear itches.
Oh, great. So it begins.
I blame Holly for that one. Now my nose is itching. Dang it. I'm having sympathetic nose itch. That's a real condition. I'm not doing this again with you. Now my nose really itches.
Oh, gosh.
Thanks, Holly.
Thanks a lot.
I'm going to get like severe eyelid itch. Wait, no, right there.
Well, don't talk about it.
Well, she's talking about it. That was her idea. What did we say we're doing for the tip? I don't think we said.
I don't think we said.
Okay. We need to get going in here, but.
Yeah.
We already did that one as well. Boundaries.
Boundaries.
Short topic.
All right. In 35 pages or less. I won't do that one.
Where are we? Where did it go? Okay. Ready for action, sir. 3, 2, 1.
3, 2, 1.
Hello, entrepreneurs, dreamers, business owners, and happy people with high hopes. Welcome to Cash Flows with your host, Cash Matthews.
All right. Hello. Welcome to the Cash Flows podcast. I'm Cash Matthews, your host for the day, and we're glad you're here. Today, you know, Cash Flows is a place where you can come and learn
how to turn the alarm off on your phone.
All right. We're starting over.
Oh, my goodness.
I don't like
it. That's our show for today. Stay tuned for another riveting edition of Cash Flows.
I just cleared all my alarms. This is awful.
Classic.
There are no alarms set on my phone.
I don't know how it happened.
Mine does that all the time. It just randomly will.
But true story, though, if it's set for one time, it will run and then look like it's off. So if you have any of them in there for... 6:59 or 7:02 or somewhere in between.
I'm not sure what I did there.
Or if they're on snooze,
okay. They'll come. Or I guess sure. 7. It's I guess on. 7 p.m.
I'm just gonna. I don't need my phone during the podcast.
No,
that's not unless we do the fake phone call.
Well,
okay.
Right.
Okay.
And keep in mind, we can do a real phone call. I have a Bluetooth connection thing. It'd be a whole thing. It'd be fun.
That would be kind of fun.
We set that up sometime.
Let's practice that here in a couple of days.
Okay.
Okay. Right,
so now you're ready for the actual episode. Number 70.
You psyched me out there.
Okay, here we go.
All right.
Hello, entrepreneurs, dreamers, business owners, and happy people with high hopes. Welcome to Cash Flows with your host, Cash Matthews.
All right. Greetings, friends. I'm Cash Matthews. Our show is Cash Flows, and this is a place where we talk about those important and relevant life issues that matter to you. And they can be business-oriented or financial or relationship or health or our children. And so today we bring another riveting edition of Cash Flows. And we like to call this the pursuit of the good life, where we bring in entrepreneurs who are doing something in their life, and maybe not a perfect something, but they're moving forward. And we share those ideas with our friends and listeners. And we have a philosophy that we called Fire, Aim, Ready. And, Kenneth, the concept behind that is really it's about taking action.
Yeah.
And not perfect action, just taking action as you move forward towards a goal, dream, idea. And for those of you that feel stuck and you just need a little bit of improvement, I think you're going to love this show. You know, Kenneth, a lot of people kind of go through life with the music still in them. Mm. And that's a worry of mine that, you know, you would go to the grave with the music in you. And, well, we don't want to do that. And you'll find out in life. One of the things I found out, one of the great things I found out, is that it is okay to copy off of your neighbors.
Ah.
I got in trouble third grade for that.
Yeah.
I copied off my neighbor. I suffered. But I found out later in life, you find somebody doing what you want to do or has what you want to have or lives in a way you want to live, and it's okay to, you know, peer over the desk and find out, hey, what are you doing? And we bring those people here on this show and ask them that question. Hey, what are you doing?
What you doing?
What you doing, man? So anyway, nice to see you, sir. Everybody say hi to Mr. Kenneth Bockham, the executive producer.
Oh, hi, everybody. Yeah, well, it's great to be here. I've been enjoying this week so far and this day so far, in spite of just a little bit of winter chill in the air.
It's a little chill in the air.
It's been a great time. Yeah.
I may go warm up with a chili burrito.
Okay, there we go.
I don't know if that's really a thing.
Well, I mean, I don't know either. But yeah, so we're here just trying to support all of our local entrepreneurs all over the greater Tulsa metro.
Right.
We're sponsored here by the Tulsa Business Owners Networking Group, the
right.
Bong.
And, we are indeed.
And featured on their website as well, TulsaBong.com. So we're talking about, in each of our episodes now, we're talking about this piece of daily wisdom, something that we can do to better our businesses. And I'm kind of curious, Cash, maybe you can help me out with this. How can we do a better job setting boundaries?
One of my favorite topics, and this is short and quick and to the point, but the thing I want to talk about are the people out in the world who want you to give them a discount. You know, we're all working like crazy. We're all giving it our best shot. And you don't go to Target or Walmart and go, hey, you know what? That $8.95 for that thing is right, but I'll give you $6.95. And, you know, we're out here as entrepreneurs fulfilling our dream, doing our thing, giving it all we've got. And then our friends and family all, you know, they have this expectation that we're going to give it to them for free or for something less. And, you know, you can look on our Facebook page and people come on, and it's one of the most common things that they ask for. And they'll say, hey, my car is broken, and I'm not a millionaire.
Right.
I want somebody that's cheap.
Well, someone that doesn't cost an arm and a leg.
An arm and a leg. That's right. And they say these things because we are conditioned that we think we deserve a discount. Hey, look, if I'm your friend, I'm going to charge you more. Because of that lame attitude. And so this is just a conversation, just an imagination point about should we ask our friends for a discount? You know, as entrepreneurs, you know, I believe the answer is no. I moved to Tulsa, met the lady who still cuts my hair, and I felt like she was charging too little.
Mm-hmm.
And we began to have this conversation. I said, I'm sorry, I don't want a $25 haircut. I want better.
Yeah,
and that's just what she charged. And she is amazing. She's one of the original 12 Bong members and somebody I see every 3 weeks. So I, you know, I see her plenty and I convinced her to raise her prices.
Yeah.
And she said, what are the people going to say? And I said, nothing, because you're worth it. And I think there's a moment in your business when you recognize that what you're doing is valuable and that you're worth it. You just don't entertain those kind of thoughts.
Yeah.
And, you know, we're all entrepreneurs, and don't ask me for a discount, and I won't ask you. Let's all love on each other at full price.
There we go.
And that would be my wisdom on boundaries. I think we have to have boundaries about how we price ourselves, how we esteem our own value. And if you don't esteem yourself very highly, you're probably discounting everything.
Yeah.
But I don't think you can discount your way to success, and I don't think you can discount your way, you know, getting discounts from your friends. I just don't think it's a good idea. Set a price, good product, good price, a fair price, and let's run with it.
Yeah.
So quit asking.
That's very direct.
Yeah, I'm sorry. You know, I don't have an inner dialogue.
That's okay.
I'm one of those guys. Like, if I think it, I'm saying it, and I pray that I've said something that's truthful and accurate and lifts people up, but sometimes I may not say it in the right way.
Yep.
But I'll do my best.
We all work with that.
All right. Very cool. Our guest today is Holly Rayburg, and she has a book called Cal the Camel. You can find it at calthecamel.com. You can find her on Facebook, Instagram, MySpace, and Napster. Okay, I don't know if those last two are the.
Yeah, I don't know.
I don't know if that's accurate.
Camelster.
Yeah. Well, so here, this is going to be fun today. I am so looking forward to this. I'm an author myself, and I the kind of person that it takes to sit down and write a book.
Yeah.
I kind of relate to that.
Yeah.
And that you know, you have something to say.
Yep.
And so we welcome Holly Rayburg. Holly, say hello.
Hi, everybody. Holly Rayburg here. Thank you for having me.
Yeah, we're so glad you're here. Now, before we get in, you know, any deeper, we met you through this group called The Bong.
Mm-hmm.
And I know that had to be a weird thing for you to tell your family, hey, I've joined The Bong.
Yes.
But tell us about, you know, your relationship and experience with The Bong Group.
I kind of just came in through some friends,
right,
and made friends that way, and then kind of figured out one-on-ones, which is a big deal. So met some people at some local restaurants and coffee shops, and you know, the idea behind it is a little different. You do business different. So instead of, oh, how can I, you know, sell you on something, it's more the friendship side.
Yeah,
and then later, if I need your services or you need mine, then we connect.
Kind of figure it out. Let's go have some fries and we'll figure out this business thing.
Yeah.
I think that's a good value proposition. So we're going to talk today about your book, Cal the Camel. It can be found at calthecamel.com. Cal is C-A-L. In fact, you can see here on our book and back here, our special guest, Cal the Camel.
Hey-o.
So, yeah, we're excited to have him and want to learn more about the book. Now, what's the actual title of the book? I know I left something out.
It's Cal the Camel and His Kayaking Adventure.
Okay.
Cool.
All right. And so I'm just going to ask an overarching question about how'd you come up with all this?
Exactly. Well, my background is a special ed teacher, and so I have read probably 1,000,000,000 books. And at the time, I was teaching special needs students, and elementary has always been the majority of my background. And just, I guess I just think in books, you know, just like, oh, that'd be a cute story. Oh, that'd be a cute story. And I've read so many. I don't know. I went on a trip, and on the way home from that trip, I got a little, those little tiny composition books you can get at the dollar store for like 33 cents.
Yeah.
I was like a 4-hour trip home from a kayaking trip that I took, and I wrote the whole thing home. Like on the way home, I wrote the whole thing. And then, yeah, I came home and threw it in a box and didn't look at it again for 12 years.
Whoa. Okay. Say that part again. You started going and you let it sit for 12 years?
Yep. Yeah. I mean, teaching was kind of my first love. I knew in third grade I wanted to be a third grade teacher. And then just life evolved to where I was a special ed teacher. And I've taught third grade one time.
Okay.
But just I wrote it and just kind of... you know, secondary love was to write, and I've always written and had good grades on my writing papers, but just never thought it could be a business, and wrote it all down, threw it in a box, and was just like, well, you know, life happens. So I taught and moved around a couple to different states and got married and had kids, and just the call to write or the call to make this happen would not go away. So it took 12 years to kind of believe in myself and then just decide I'm going to make it happen. So like January 1st is kind of my pivotal time frame. It's like every January 1st I look at the calendar and I'm like, oh my gosh, I have 365 days to make something happen.
Right.
And I did that for like 12 years in a row. And so January 1st, 2020, I was like, I don't care what happens. Like the call to write would not go away. The itch would not go away. And so I'm like, I don't care what happens. I just have to get this made. I don't care how much it costs. I'm going to do anything. I'm going to go to any length to make it happen. I had no idea that there could be a business behind it, that I would be creating a business behind it, that I could create my own website and have an LLC and all the things that come with a business. But I just had to get it out. And so I will tell you, like, it worked. You know, I don't itch anymore in that way. So
now, is this the only book you've written?
This is the only one I've published.
Right.
I have two more. I wrote the third one January 1st of this year.
And now are these Cal the Camel?
Camel books, yep. So it'll be a series.
So episodes 1, 2, 3, it's a series.
Mm-hmm.
And when will those be released? This is exciting.
Hopefully in the next year.
Right.
It takes a while.
Yeah, I mean, I think the process for that, and you want to do that correctly on the front end, because you can't do it over.
Exactly. And that's why this first one, after reading so many books, I wanted it to look good, and I wanted it, like, no, you know, spare no expense. So the first one.
Well, I think our listeners and viewers are viewing it. If you're viewing this on YouTube, Cal the Camel, and we have Cal here in the background as well. So let's talk about why would you have a camel as the main character in a book?
Right.
And a kayaking camel.
Exactly.
Okay.
So this kind of, you know, you're getting a teacher here, so I'm going to tie in some teaching tips. But, you know, write what you know, write what you've experienced. And so I came away from a trip kayaking with friends, and then we also went to the Arbuckle Wilderness in Oklahoma.
Yeah.
Which is a drive-through animal safari, and about a mile away is Turner Falls. So I don't know. I just, like, through that trip, like, the animals are allowed to come up and lick your windshield and kind of put their nose in your car. And
right.
So the camels did that, and the donkeys did that, and just different animals, you know. So I don't know. Just, it's been about 14 years since I wrote it, so I don't exactly remember everything. But I guess I thought giraffes and zebras get too much attention. And so why not a camel?
It's a conspiracy.
And, you know, with the popularity of sloths kind of, you know, coming in, I'm like, you know, we need camels. Camels need to be the next sloth.
Camels are cool. There used to be a cigarette called Camel.
Yeah.
And the phrase was, I'd walk a mile for a camel.
Wow.
I never understood that, because if you smoked camels, you couldn't walk a mile.
That's
but
right.
I was always curious about that brand, but I think they're gone by now. So the story itself, you take a trip to the Turner Falls area. A lot of us have been down there. You're driving through the thing. Animals are coming up. So how does that inspire? Is that what inspired the book? Like, you went, you know what? I need to write a book about this camel licking my window.
I had that little booklet in my backpack or whatever, and had a 4-hour trip home, and I wasn't driving. I was in the back seat just hanging out. And I don't know. It just kind of Cal the camel and his kayaking adventure just kind of came to mind. And I just started writing. I mean, 3.5 hours of writing the whole time. Just wrote it all down, and when it came time to publish it, the book, the original manuscript, ended up being about 1,800 words.
Okay.
And a general, this is considered a picture book.
Okay.
So general picture books are about 300 to 500 words.
Oh, so you had some trimming to do.
Yeah, so I trimmed it down by 1,000 words, so this is, the final is about 780 words.
Right. So what is your process then for writing books? Because now you have three, only one released, but the others as well. What is your process for writing books? And I'm asking that on a personal basis because I love to write.
Yeah.
And I love hanging out with writers. I want to hear your story.
I mean, like the last one, the most recent one I wrote on January 1st, I had time away, you know, I don't have too much time. So it's like I had just enough time. Like I get to go to Barnes & Noble for a couple hours. So I got a drink and some popcorn and then just started writing. Just inspiration hits. And this third title has been in my head for a couple of years. And I started it a couple of years ago and I lost the notebook that I wrote it in.
Oh, no.
So I had to start over. So the last two books have taken about 1.5 hours each. So I guess my timing is about 1.5 hours. And then I go back and edit and, you know, kind of polish it up.
And you're your own editor as well?
No.
Okay.
I would never recommend editing your own book, even as a teacher. I mean, I edited it down, you know, the best I could.
Right.
But then I did hire a professional editor. So I would say that's tip number one, is to hire a professional editor. Editor. And on your note about boundaries, my editor, she is actually in Australia. I felt like she charged too little. Like, she charged me maybe $30, and I got a 4-page report on my book on, like, how it would relate to kids. Was my vocabulary appropriate for the age level? Did the story, like, flow well? And so, like, I was, this is awesome, because I had hired a editor a couple of weeks before that, and they added words to my book. They charged like $300. So it's like, you're not charging enough for a 4-page report. So so now she charges more. So now I'm going to have to pay more. But
got it. So but that editor, was it somebody that you knew? How do you find somebody in Australia?
It was just my other big business idea is to get into a Facebook group that does what you want to do. And that's how I found him. I mean, I found my editor. I found my printer. Found, you know, author coaching sometimes. I found them there. And so just, I don't know, getting a group. Like right now, I love old typewriters. So I'm in a Facebook antique typewriter. I'd love to have an antique typewriter as a decoration in my house.
Okay.
So I'm on an antique typewriter book, you know, or Facebook page. So.
Yeah, and it's great to surround yourself with people that are part of your industry or your goal or your dream. And that's kind of the genesis of our podcast is that, you know, surround yourself with people that do what you want to do. Now, this is broader in nature, just entrepreneurship. But, man, that is a great idea. So you put it on the side for 12 years.
Yep.
I love that story. But you came back and finished it.
I did,
From the time you started it till the time you finished, how long did
That was about a year and a half.
Okay.
Probably could have been done in 6 months, but I hadn't ever gone through the process before. And right. so my illustrator was like, send us notes. And so I would send tons of notes. You know, I'm a writer, so it'd be like 3 pages of notes for, right. I want camp, you know, the camp cow to look this direction. And I want, you know, his color to be this way. I want his mm-hmm. words to be this way. So like in this book, so I self-published it. It's not right. traditionally published. So I got to pick everything. I even put myself in the book. So,
what's your character in the book?
It's just, it doesn't have a name.
Okay. But we know it's you.
Yeah, you can kind of.
I think we need to see that. Take us to that page and we'll put that up in front of the camera. There you go. Oh, and that's you in the drive-thru safari. Yeah.
So like at the time, you know, Bitmojis were a big deal. And so I just kind of had them, gave them my Bitmoji and said, put me in there.
Can you,
let me take a quick picture here.
Yeah.
There we go. 1, 2, 3. Oh, that's great.
Thank you.
That's awesome.
So it's, you know, traditionally published. I was able to make little clouds out of my words. There's a cloud theme in my book. This is kind of going a different direction. But there's a cloud theme in my book, so I was able to put that in there. And there's a reason for the clouds. I put a tiny cloud on each page. I had to fight for it. They're like, why do you want a tiny cloud?
The word boxes are clouds?
Yeah, the word boxes are actual clouds.
Oh, that is so cool. And you've got other clouds in there as well.
Yeah, each page has a little tiny cloud on it.
I'll be darned.
And that relates to the Bible story of Elijah, where he couldn't, you know, there was no rain forever. And he kept sending his servants to look for rain. And then they saw a cloud the size of a man's hand. And so it's the hope story to me. Like, that means right. hope. Like, a tiny cloud is hope. And so
okay,
that's integrated in the book. You have to look for it yourself.
So your background was as a teacher, but what kind of background did you have for writing books? I mean, were you an avid reader? Let's start with that.
Yes. I mean, I would hide, you know, under my covers at night in elementary school with the flashlight and get in trouble for reading till 10 or 10:30. And the main thing that sticks out to me is in elementary, we read Charlotte's Web.
Right.
And so the teacher would read it. And then at the end of the week, you'd have a test over the characters and things. And so every time my teacher was like, we have to wait on Holly because I know she writes the longest answers. So I'd write like 2 paragraphs, you know, or 3 paragraphs on, you know, who was the pig? Oh, the pig, you know. And so I'd 3 paragraphs later, I'd have my answer. So she was like, we have to wait on Holly. So I just kind of have always written, even, you know, Facebook things. I'll have to edit them because I write too much.
But you enjoy writing.
Yeah.
You enjoy putting ideas in front mm-hmm. of people. You know what? We're going to take a quick break, and we're going to do a little studio read here on one of our advertisers that keeps us on the air.
Money is all around us, and we think about it more than almost every other aspect of our lives. But how can we make more of it, and what's our drive for building wealth beyond just the numbers in our bank account? Join us on the Make More podcast as our host Matt Heslin brings to you a dynamic lineup of experts in the world of investing, business, health, and beyond. Together, they unpack the secrets to not just surviving, but thriving in today's economy. It's about more than just wealth. It's about crafting life experiences, seizing opportunities, and building a legacy. Subscribe now to the Make More with Matt Heslin podcast and join us every week for new expert insights and inspiration.
All right. Today we're going to take a quick pause to appreciate all of those who make it happen. Coming to you live from the dynamic space of Elevate Coworking, with signs crafted by the talented team at CM Customs. Spotlighting the innovators from Tulsa's Business Owners Networking Group, connecting great minds across the city. Financial wisdom is at your fingertips with MFP, My Financial Plan at joinmfp.com. And a special nod to the man behind the camera, Kenneth Bauckham Photography, for capturing our best angles. Now, back to this episode, already in progress.
All right, we're with Holly Rayburg here today. And her book is calthecamel.com, www.calthecamel.com. A children's book, a picture book, and been out for now. How long has this book been out now?
It'll be 3 years in April.
3 years in April, and they can find the book online, or do you have
it's
it in stores
on Amazon.
Now? Amazon.
Amazon has it, and I have it on my website.
All right, very cool. Well, so as somebody who's written a book, I know there are challenges, and my favorite question to ask other authors is, what was the big one for you? Was there a particular thing that was more difficult for you? And if so, how do you overcome it? because I think that's where a lot of potential authors, maybe they give up a little bit. They hit that obstacle that you've been able to plow through. What was yours?
So for picture books, my biggest obstacle was the illustrations. Because okay. I was able to, and that's what I liked, that I could choose. With self-publishing, you get to choose your illustrations.
Right.
With traditional publishing, they'll choose an illustrator for you, and you kind of have to be okay with their ideas and what things look like. And so I was very happy with the company that I used found my illustrator, but I also, like I said, I had to send them notes. And it was my illustrator is actually out of India, but he works for an American company.
Okay.
And so just the language barrier. And in my book, I had wanted to put a black kitty. There's just a stuffed kitty that gets lost, a stuffed kitten. And I wanted a black cat. And they would not put a black cat in my book. And I kept asking. I sent pictures of my cat. I sent pictures of stuffed cats. I sent pictures of Amazon cats. They would not put a black cat in my book. And so I was really frustrated. I was like, I know, I'm paying you to do this. Yeah, that's frustrating. So I never found out why, but I just had at an author visit, I had a mom kind of say, hey, maybe it's because since the illustrator was in India, they view black cats as like cursed or bad luck. And so I think he was like, I'm not going to curse your book, you know.
He's looking out for me.
So that was.
You're an author, but that also makes you an entrepreneur.
Yes.
And, you know, we discuss this a lot on the Cashflow Show. You can be good at something, you know, say writing books or baking pies or taking pictures, and maybe you're great at it even, but then this entrepreneur thing shows up. What challenges have you had as an entrepreneur?
I guess just trying to figure out, like, what kind of business you need, like the LLC,
right,
or sole proprietorship, the taxes. I'm very bad. Like, I got a letter in the mail this week that I was overdue on my state tax.
Oh, boy.
So I'm always behind on state taxes.
Right.
I don't know. I would read books and connect with people that do business and ask questions, because that's probably the hardest part. Writing it is probably the easiest.
Right.
Getting it published would probably be the second hardest. And then creating an actual business around it and understanding the laws and rules and all those things would probably be the third most challenging.
So how and where do you market the book now? And I know we're doing it here on Cashflows.
Right.
And we're excited to do that. And you know lots of people in the Bond group. How else do you market the book?
I started out with just schools. Like, as a teacher, I have lots of teacher connections. And so I would connect with schools and do author visits and try to get it out that way. Social media, you know, Facebook and Instagram, although that's not my favorite way. I'm just not naturally, you know, social media.
And there's a Facebook page for Cal the Camel?
Yep.
And it's just called Cal the
Camel? Well, like, I had him as his character, but just through business advice, it was like, make me the main person, and then Cal would be supplemental.
Got it.
Or secondary. So now my Facebook page is Holly Rayberg, and so
kind
of things like that.
We can see Cal the Camel.
You can see him there, yep. And
Holly
the website,
Rayberg.
Yep. So well, just, yeah.
So you've gone on to be an author and an entrepreneur, and did you have any family history of entrepreneurship, either, you know, parents or siblings or anybody in your immediate family now entrepreneurial minded?
It's amazing how, like, I didn't connect that I was related to these people that had businesses. I was like, I have a business, and my brother has two or three businesses. My dad owned a music store when I was about in middle school. He owned a music store, and he always gave music lessons. He started his own band, and he had never learned how to play an instrument until he was like in his mid-20s. So he taught himself how to play like the mandolin and the violin and the guitar. So he built a business around that, and then he moved that into a printing business. And then later on, he tried a coffee shop in our small little town. And then my grandmother worked until she was about 85. She had a Merle Norman cosmetic business.
Oh, yeah, I remember that.
Drove 30 minutes back and forth, you know, commute every day to her business. And so, but it's weird because, like, I didn't ever connect that until I was thinking about this podcast, and I was like.
Your other teaching roles, were they entrepreneurial, or were you working in a school system?
Always school system, yeah.
Right. So that jump from, I mean, and God bless the teachers, because, where would we be without them? But I love that moment where somebody says, I'm making the jump. What was that like for you?
I was working an online teaching job full time, making probably more than I had up to that point teaching. And the call to get this out and the drive and the itch would not go away. So I took a step of faith and resigned, you know, that end of that school year, and spent, like, I've tried the last 2.5 years to make this my business. And so I still tutor part time and just to kind of connect with kids. And I don't think that will ever go away either. But, and I've kind of become, for other people, a natural marketer.
Okay.
So I could give you 1,000 ideas on how to market your business.
Right.
But for me, it's a little more challenging. But I don't know. It's interesting. I'm like, maybe I should get a degree in marketing now.
Maybe so. I mean, the Bong, you know, the Bong is a kind of marketing group, but it's the number one question is how do I get my stuff out in the world?
I mean, I know social media, like, it just, to me, social media is an animal you have to feed 3 or 4 times a day. And it's, do you want to commit yourself to that? And I see kind of the Facebook celebrities that'll come through. And then after, you know, a year or 6 months, they're like, I'm taking a break, you know? Right. So you're like, it's true. It does draw a lot out of you.
Yeah, it can be a full-time job.
Yes. So I'm kind of forcing myself this next year to try everything but social media.
Okay.
So we'll see.
Do you do book signings or go to, I mean.
I haven't ever done like a Barnes & Noble. I haven't done something like that because usually you have to kind of build a huge following or you're just kind of sitting at a table going, hey, look at me, you know. So, and it's depending, like right when I decided I was going to do this, the pandemic hit like two months later.
Oh, right. Yeah. Good timing.
So, yeah. I mean, it was good to be focused on it. But then as I was like, hey, Barnes & Noble, will you, you know, let me have a book signing? And they're like, no, we're not ready for visitors yet. And like the libraries, they have been so difficult to get in.
Really?
Like they, no, they don't.
So they don't support your endeavor as an author?
It's been challenging.
Wow.
Especially as a self-published author.
Well, that's a little sad to hear.
Like our area district has one copy that they leave at the downtown campus in Tulsa. And they only if people request it, will they ask for more copies.
Wow.
So you have to, you know, so if you're in the area, request my book.
Yeah.
So it's been challenging. And I've been told by several, you know, librarians at different locations that they just want traditional published that have a huge following. They don't really support.
That's crazy. I'm not that happy about hearing that.
Yeah, they're slowly, like the last, it's been a couple months, but they're like, we're slowly starting to realize that, you know, self-published authors do have things to say and nice products.
Authors,
and
so
when I go in and I compare books, I'm like, this got published now, or this is in the library.
Yes.
And
it
drives me nuts.
Yeah. Okay. So lots of people want to write a book.
Mm-hmm.
What would be your advice to somebody who really wants to write a book?
I mean, the best advice is to write it down. Because I spent years and years going, I want to write a book. And I had a friend that's like, just do it already. Quit talking about it and do it.
Right.
And so write it down. Get it written down. And don't worry about, because I kind of try to edit while I write. And I had to stop doing that. So I just free flow.
Just write.
Get all the ideas out. Get it from start to finish. And then go back and edit. So even like I'll put little TH when I'm writing something, like if I can't think of a name, or I'll just put, you know, John, I'll just pick one name. So I'm not spending 10 minutes. What's the best name I could think of? And then if I can't think of a word, I'll just put TH for thesaurus. That means later.
Oh, yeah.
Go back
pick
and look
a word
up,
later.
Yeah, pick a word later. So I'm not getting stuck on the process.
So what role does technology play? Because, you know, I use the notes thing on my phone.
Mm-hmm.
It's got one of those you can talk into it and it puts words on the page.
Mm-hmm.
Do you use technology?
Paper and pencil.
Paper and pencil. Okay.
Because when I wrote the third one on January 1st, I didn't have a notebook with me. I'm like, hello, I should have a notebook with me. So I walked around and bought a notebook for that time. So I'm like, I'm feeling it. I feel like I want to get a book out. So I went and bought a notebook and found a pen in my purse. And so just started writing. I don't like typing. Like I'm too interested in editing it.
Right.
So I don't type it. I just write it on paper and pencil.
Okay. Well, I have not heard of a writer doing that for a while, but I think that's beautiful. I write all my own personal notes in a notebook.
Yeah.
So where do you see Cal the Camel going from here?
I have big plans for Cal. Early on, 12 years ago, someone mentioned, hey, that would make a cute cartoon. I was like, yeah, sure, whatever. Didn't really take it serious, but now that I have children and I'm forced to watch tons of cartoons, I'm like, hey, Cal could be a contender. He definitely could. So, you know, just the process of making that happen at some point.
So one of your dreams for the book might be to turn it into a cartoon, yes, or see where it goes?
Like a cartoon series, yeah, definitely. That would be the end result.
That would be kind of cool.
It would be very cool.
We are here with Holly Rayburg, calthecamel.com. That's her book. It's a children's book. It's a picture book. It's beautiful, and you are featured in it as well.
Yes.
And a lot of thought and heart went into this book. And I think this kind of thing is a, I think it's a perfect gift as well. You know, books are educational. You never, especially you as a teacher, because you don't know how far your influence will go. But I remember more of the books I read when I was a kid than I did through college and as an adult.
Yeah,
so
that's a good point.
Yeah, so good for you. Well, we're going to wrap up here, and we're going to get your best advice for another entrepreneur in the world.
My best advice would be just start. Like, get a book on what you're interested in. Join a Facebook group on what you're interested in. If you want to be a writer, write that story and get it written, and then go from there.
All right. We're excited to see how far Cal the Camel goes. Kenneth, you want to wrap this up?
Sure. Let's do it.
Okay, well, then that's a wrap.
Well, that was easy.
I think that's pretty easy. So we're going to slow it down here, and first we're going to say thank you for Holly Rayburg for joining us today on the Cash Flows podcast. And we hope that the wisdom and the perseverance
yes,
and the stick-to-itiveness of the people we bring on this show will be an inspiration to you. You can find Holly on Facebook as well, just Holly Rayburg, and that's R-E-H-B-E-R-G, Holly Rayburg. Or you can find her on the Tulsa Business Owners Networking Group as well. And we would love for you to connect with her and learn more about Cal the Camel.
Yeah.
So thank you, Holly, for being here. Thanks to our sponsors who keep us lit up out there on the interwebs. We appreciate that as well. And for today, be nice to each other. It's really a simple thing. And be nice to the people around you. And more importantly than that, today would be a great day to forgive somebody for no apparent reason. You know, forgiveness is not about the other person. It's about you. And it's about letting go of those chains and ropes you've tied around your own waist, and you're dragging a mountain of stones behind you when you don't forgive. Forgiveness is about you and breaking free to the next chapter in your life. So to our friends out there that continue to like our posts on a daily basis, and to those of you who've helped support this show, remember, this show is about you. And we're very glad that you're here today with Cash Flows.
That's our show for today. Stay tuned for another riveting edition of Cash Flows.